Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Governor Pat McCrory talks often of the Carolina comeback, the drop in North Carolina's unemployment rate since he was elected governor. But there's another part of the state's economic recovery that paints a much different picture, the lagging income of North Carolina families. That's the focus of a new report by Think NC First, and the report's author, John Quinterno, joins us now to talk about it. Well, John, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me, Chris.
Let's talk about your report about how North Carolina is doing in terms of wages and economic recovery. I want to get into a lot of specifics, but what are the top lines of this? What are the messages from this report?
The top line for me is that we've spent a lot of time talking about the unemployment rate and as that is as a measure of whether the labor market is improving. And that's important, but what we're missing is this larger picture. When you look at why people work to earn income, that you'll see that this recession has really and the recovery have been terrible, and that most households, the median household in the state, has actually lost ground both during the recession and the recovery. And as a result, North Carolina's median household income has fallen in real terms to the lowest level since the early 1980s.
What are some of the possible reasons that that is happening?
There are a variety of factors. One, of course, is we had a very severe recession, particularly in North Carolina in that 2008-09 into early 2010 period, which created a lot of job loss. But then we've had a recovery that's been very, very slow. And so you can argue why that's been slow, but the point is we have a lot of slack in the labor market that has a lot of negative impact both on those people who are out of work or are underemployed, and as well it has an impact on those who have jobs as well. It affects the whole labor market, not just those who are jobless. People always forget that.
You mentioned the unemployment rate. I think a lot of people who don't pay attention to this every day like you do will maybe catch a headline that says North Carolina's unemployment rate has gone down or stayed the same and it's now better than the national average and so forth. Why isn't that a factor? What should people know about that?
Even in good times, the unemployment rate is one measure. It's an important measure, but it's a limited measure. I always say trying to steer economic policy just by the unemployment rate is like trying to drive a car with only one indicator on the dashboard. You know something, but you don't know the whole picture. So I think you also need to get beyond that one measure, but you also have to look at why do people work? For most people, they depend on work for almost all of their household income, and so it's sort of this instrumental piece we lose. People don't often have a job just to have a job. They have a job in order to bring an income, to support themselves, to save for the future, and to really have a certain standard of living. When you just focus on the unemployment rate, you lose that bigger picture of wages, incomes, and people's standard of living.
Is some of the issue the kind of jobs that the recovery is creating?
Definitely. There's the element of that. Are we adding jobs that generally are lower paying? So there's definitely a piece of that. But also, I think there's the bigger question of why are some of these jobs low paying in the first place? And that's where you start getting to some of these public policy issues around what minimum wage policies do we have? Are labor laws enforced? What do we do about encouraging and trying to help people who aren't unemployed going back to higher wage work as opposed to any job? All of those choices come into play and exacerbate the tensions.
In terms of how corporations and employers are doing in the economic recovery, are they in a position where they could be paying higher wages or we could be giving workers more compensation?
There's definitely the possibility there. Of course, that's going to vary a great deal from industry to industry and from firm to firm in terms of their size and composition. But in the aggregate, it definitely seems that there is much more potential there.
What are your hopes for the future? I mean, how do we see this as a trend line?
From my perspective, I'm very alarmed, and working on this report was a very dispiriting process in many ways, both because to me it shows that public policy is completely, at the state and federal level, has completely turned a blind eye to these trends. And also from just a perspective of, if you look at this broader trend of has the state made progress over the past 30, 40 years, you see that actually we haven't just lost ground in the recession, we've lost decades worth of progress. And if you go back to the early 80s, I wasn't born that much before then, you can argue that almost in my lifetime, there's been no income growth for the median family in North Carolina. That's stunning.
I think it's probably worth noting that you find that between 2009 and 2013, income fell or remained unchanged for every income group except one, the top 5%. So
right.
Is this further exacerbating our inequality issues?
Yes and no. To be fair, this data set we're looking at here does not really capture wealth, so I wouldn't really use this data set to look at the very wealthiest people and some of these issues of inequality. But if you look at the broader set of data we do have in there, we talk about income that came down across the board for pretty much every group you can think of, racial, ethnic, working, non-working, lots of education, little education. It really has been across the board. So income levels have come down, but we've also become much more unequal in terms of the distribution of that income as well. And that gets into some questions about job quality, gets into issues around tax policy. All of those issues start to come into play at that point.
And as we sit here and talk about this report, which I certainly encourage people to read and digest, our General Assembly is putting a budget together. They're putting tax policy together. What are some of the implications you think from this report that policymakers need to take into account in the next month as they really decide how much taxes we pay and who pays it and how much of our money goes where?
If you're interested in these issues of income growth, of income inequality, if you care about that, you can think of the policy levers as sort of like building a multi-story house. You want to have a very strong floor, you want to have a good, strong, tight ceiling, and you want to have clear pathways that help people move from one floor to another. So the bottom floor would be things like the minimum wage and some of the enforcement of labor laws. And the General Assembly has taken some steps to deal with these employee misclassification issues. But taxes and tax policy really goes to the top in terms of having a strong ceiling or a tight roof, if you will. And then the spending choices on things like education, higher education, childcare, health and human services, those all get to the mobility and the pathways from getting from one floor to another. So I think we have to sort of judge in those terms. If you care about income growth, if you care about equality, how do your policies affect that sort of structure?
There certainly is a point of view, which I know you have heard, and we're hearing now, particularly from state Senate leaders, that the best way to address our economic issues, including this, would be to continue to cut taxes on the folks at the top, which will then either trickle down or create more jobs, and that's the best way to make sure that house is sound. And I wonder, what do you think the implications of that are?
And I think at the national level, we've had 30 to 40 years of experimenting with this idea in different states in different ways. And again, we are at a point now where in North Carolina, arguably, our income levels are lower than they were 30 years ago. So I think you need to put that in some context. And also, it does seem like even as we've started to implement some of these policies, which won't fully be captured in the data we're looking at, we're not really seeing it during this recovery because income is continuing to fall. And it's fallen for everyone, including people who you would say it shouldn't fall for, like those with advanced education. People with graduate degrees have seen their median income fall during the recovery.
What about sort of the converse of that question I just asked you? What about the things you mentioned, raising minimum wage? I guess there's the earned income tax credit and other supports and things that help people in the bottom of the economic floor. How much would that help the overall economy and growth, putting more money into the hands of folks who really need it and will spend it?
Generally, there's a great deal of evidence that shows when you raise wages or put more money in the hands of people of modest incomes, they tend to spend it very quickly, and they tend to spend it very locally on necessities at the grocery store, at local shops, etc. There can be a stimulating effect and a larger economic impact as well that can help grow the larger pie.
Finally, before I let you go, you mentioned that it was a little dispiriting to do the report and compile the data and that you're not optimistic for the trends. Even in an ideal world, wouldn't it take a while for policymakers to sort of turn this ship in a different direction? I mean, it's hard to pass things today that we can fix the income growth problem in a year.
You need to take a certain perspective and patience. But the thing I find remarkable is it can be so hard to point things in a positive direction, but it doesn't take very much time at all to make things appreciably worse and destroy progress as well. So there's always that tension, I think, of how do you make things better? And that may take time. But it's very, very easy to make things worse very quickly. And so you need to keep that in mind about what are your choices or your actions actually just going to compound the problems that exist.
Well, let's hope they try to make things better. We really appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Up next, the push for paid sick leave for workers in North Carolina. Stay with us.